Well, today we have a special speaker with us. Many of you have met Pastor Samil from City Cove Church. Some of you haven't, though, so I want to introduce him. This is Samil, Pastor Samil from City Cove. We have a partnership with City Covenant Church, and really, once a quarter, once every 6 months, we do a pulpit swap where Mike goes and he preaches there, and Samil goes and preaches here. It's a great way for us to show our investment in each other and our partnership. And so today, Samil's going to be bringing the word. Let's welcome him with a nice little round of applause. All right, Samil, take it away.
Praise God, James. Thank you. There is a word from the Lord. Amen. It is in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to be starting from verse 10. You guys are on sync here, so I got to learn. I'm coming in here with this Baptist stuff. I got to stay on point. Amen. Amen. As you see, I've already started here already. All right. It says, and each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whosoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. Whosoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 12 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you, which come upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice in exhortation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. I entitled this The Gift of Suffering. The Gift of Suffering. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We're so grateful for a second chance, Lord, another day that you have woke us and we're sitting clothed in our right mind, able to have the activities of our limbs and the functions of our mind, able to serve and magnify you and to worship you, and to become further effective instruments in your glory, to be co-laborers, to stand willing one day to hear, well done. So as always, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would teach us today. I'm always asking, Lord, just teach us. And then give us the strength and the courage to do what you've called us to do and to be who you've called us to be. Lord, I pray for every glad heart that is here today. I thank you for everyone who is struggling. They'll find out that there is a gift in our suffering. And it's in the beautiful knowledge that you are our Savior and that you know us and that you care. So again, Holy Spirit, teach us. It's in the blessed name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The gift of suffering. Pastor, you got to be out of your mind. Who wants the gift of suffering? Nobody does, really. Most people today do not want to suffer. We desire the gain without the experience of the pain. Very often you hear people say things, beautiful, catchy work smarter, not harder. When actually we're really just looking for ways to cheat the system. We're looking for ways to hide at work and still get paid. I heard a group of college students say the other day that, you know, C's get degrees. I was like, C's get degrees? And at first I chuckled and I said, wait a minute, hold on. So if you're in a storm and the pilot is flying, you want the cat with the C? Or if you're in the operating room and someone is doing surgery on your brain or something, you want the person who cheated the system? You want the person that didn't strive to do their best? No, you don't. But it's catchy and it's cute. But unfortunately, it is where we're at in society today. I heard Denzel Washington say, that ease is the enemy of progress. Ease. We made things too easy. We want to lose weight, not just take a pill. Not even using the stuff for diabetes. Now more people want it so they can lose weight. Man, what kind of crap is that? And so I just want you to understand that God has a process for growth and for maturity and for development. And you can say fortunately or unfortunately, wherever you want to be in the scope, it doesn't matter because it's his process. That you have to be obedient, you have to sacrifice, and yes, you have to suffer. You are going to suffer if you're going to walk with Jesus. Now, the truth is, you're going to suffer anyway. Amen? It ain't like cancer skip you because you ain't with Jesus. It ain't like it ain't drama in your family because you ain't with Jesus. It's just because you so, you know, I cuss sometimes, I have to watch myself. You so jacked up. I say it like that. Amen. That you look over there being jacked up. We all jacked up together. Once we come to Christ, we gain this sensitivity. I used to cuss and wouldn't even think about it twice, but now I'm sensitive about it. Amen. It's because of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. Amen. Peter does a wonderful job of breaking this thing down for us. In chapter 2, verse 9, he tells the people of God that you are a chosen race, a chosen people. He says that you are a royal priesthood. He says that you are a holy nation. You're set aside for him. He says that you are his possession. My first scripture that I want to look at is at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Put that up for me. For Christ also suffered for sin once for all times, the just and for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. I need you to look at that part, the just and the unjust. One of the issues that we have is the body of Christ. Well, okay, one of the issues I got, I just put it on me. You be okay, all right? You know what? I might preach to the carpet today, but I don't want to offend anybody. That we only want to pick the people that we think are just to bless. If we think the person is unjust, they don't deserve us. But God died for the just and the unjust, for the world. If you would have met me in 1980, you would have thought I was unjust. But you don't know what the end is going to be. Yesterday I was at a little get-together at Buffalo Wild Wings. Y'all know me. Anyway, we're watching the Michigan game, and I was with some brothers who didn't know that when I was in the world and they were saved, I was watching them. Now, we kids, we're in high school, we're in college, they don't know I'm watching them. I think they suckers. All this Jesus crap. But now, baby, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm like, man, y'all were the bomb. I wish I would have came to the newness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ when I could still jump and run. Now all you got is a hop, maybe. A half a hop is that. God's process for growth. He says that Jesus is our example for suffering. He died for us. Who are you willing to die for? It's personal with me now. Everybody that's becoming my friend now, I am looking forward to dying with them. If you're not worth me dying with them, God bless you. All of that being said, we find ourselves in the contextual position in chapter 4, verse 1. In chapter 4, verse 1, we see this transition word, therefore. Peter says, okay, since we're a chosen race, since we're a royal priesthood, since we're a holy nation, since we're God's possession, by the way, since he gave us the example through Jesus Christ to die for the just and the unjust, therefore, since Christ has suffered, arm yourself for the same purpose. Are we arming ourselves to suffer with our children? Suffer with our families, suffer with our spouses, suffer in this life that we share together? Or are we constantly looking for ease because they're ignorant, can't hang with you, and we forget about when we was ignorant? And so no, I came today to remind you of the high calling that you've been given. You may think that Lori, you may think that Mike, you may think that James, you may think they just the pastors. But God says you're a priest too. At the very least, you ought to be the priest of your home. Every room you walk into, you should be searching to see is there a priest there. If there's not, there's one now. I'll pray for you. I'll be the peacemaker. I'll bless you. Because I'm here now. Your family should be calling you. Would you pray for me? And then you say, no, I'll pray with you. I'm not about to pray for something you don't want. Let's join together in unity. Say this for me, please. Say, Pastor, stay focused. Woo, arm yourself. Verse 7, chapter 3, says the end of all things. Peter is in a time where Christians are being burned, are being tortured. And Peter is like, we got to get this thing right because we at the end. Let me tell you something. The Taylor Swift concert the other day, it was 148 degrees at night. If you don't know we at the end, you the believers. If you don't, it might be 1,000 years, I don't know. No one knows. But if you can't see that mother is against daughter and daughter against mother, son against father, father against son, if you can't see all the diverse things that are happening, they call it climate change. But the Bible proclaims they're the beginning of the signs of the end. And you're constantly waiting for the government to fix it and this to fix it. No, it's your job to wake folks up and say, you know what, baby? You need a relationship with God. You need to develop a friendship with Jesus. He's easy. He's not hard. That's the trick of the adversary. It's not hard being a Christian. Life is hard, period. It's not the Christian part that's hard. What's so hard about loving people? What's so hard about forgiving? Every time you holding on to something, you're destroying you, not them. They done went on about their business. They have Buffalo Wild Wings with me. Why you holding on? I knew I shouldn't have. And so, he goes on. He says that we need to be of sound judgment. Verse 7. We need to be sober in spirit. We need to be purposeful in prayer. The very least we can do is pray for each other. The very least. But sound judgment. Man, I can't understand how smart we are, but yet my daughter said, I can't call us dumb. Too late. I mean, some of the things, I can't say, you know, the proper word would be, you know, ignorant. But you're not ignorant. Ignorant means not to know. You dumb when you do wrong and you knew it was wrong. That's not ignorant. You know, you're trying to rename everything. retitle everything. No, 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 no. He's pirating. No, he's stealing. They're unhoused. No, they're homeless. Softening everything to take the sting out. No, we need to be stinged. He says in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, says, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 8, says, above all, fervent in love. I don't know about you, but I'd have had some folks that I look back at later and I couldn't figure out why I was with them. How did we last 6 years? How did we last a year? How did we last this? I look back and I look at the things that they put me through. I look at the type of person they were. But it was because I loved them. See, when you love people, you look past things. So Peter goes on to say that love covers a multitude of sins. Peter's not saying you can work your way to heaven. Salvation is by grace, by your trust and your faith in the Lord. But he is saying that you can reach people for God through love. You can love somebody so much that they'll look over your issues and you'll look over their issues. Verse 9, Peter says that we need to be hospitable without complaining. I was looking at that, P. I was like, hospitable without complaining? Okay, well, why I gotta like it? I mean, you ever had people that do stuff for you with a disdain? I used to hate going to the welfare office. I used to hate it. I would be sitting there thinking sometimes at the unemployment office or at the welfare office, you wouldn't be there without me. You don't have a job if there's no me. And guess what? When I was working, I'm paying you. But they look at you like, really? And so he says, no, be hospitable. Why? Because some people are hard to love. Some people don't want to be loved. Some people, their version of love is corrupt. It's dysfunctional. When I was young, all the R&B songs talked about love when we was actually talking about sex. I didn't need to love you. And so Peter charges us to be hospitable and to look past each other's issues. All of that brings us into the context that we have for our message today. I know y'all ready to go home, right? Praise God. No, I just started. y'all thank God Mike is your pastor. I wouldn't care nothing about no hour and a half. Y'all at the right church. When he came in, you hug him. Amen? I'd have you in here 5 hours. Praise God. Verse 10 says, as each one has received a special gift. Of course, okay, all right. God has given each and every Christian a gift. Really, we have multiple gifts, all right? What I need you to understand is that there's an expectation that is tied to that gift. The Greek term for received confirms the judgment that comes behind it. God has given you something, and you see the parable where he gives one talent, one 2 talent, one 5 talent, and then he comes back. Say, okay, now what did you do with what I gave you? And then the one with the 1 talent buried it. He said, you wicked and perverse. I gave you this to use it in my kingdom. This holiday season, when you got your vacation days or your holiday days or whatever free days you got a moment where you can just, you know, get yourself together for 2024. I want you to think about this. What am I not nurturing within me? What hours are going aimless? There is no shortage of suffering. And every single one of us has a gift that God has given you to edify and to equip and to nurture the kingdom. Not for Blue Cross Blue Shield. Not for Chrysler, Stellantis, whatever. Now he wants you to be godly there, but the purpose has to be to glorify him. For God, the creator, to get the glory. He says this is a special gift. Of course, everybody has received this one. It's the gift of grace. So you say, Pastor, why me? Because he did it for you. You are extending grace to others because grace was extended to you. Just that simple. And it's a special gift because it's free. It's free to you. Just because it's free don't mean it didn't cost something. Jesus paid the price. It's also a gift of favor. When you walk in your gifts make room for you. It is a divine grace. It's extraordinary. It's powerful. It's holy. And it carries virtue. Your spiritual gifts are not foundational. They're not a privilege. What they really are responsibilities. When you're not coming here and you're not learning, you're not growing, you're not maturing in the Word of God, and then that maturity is not being expressed in your life, all right, then you're hurting the body. We should be on a rotation. Okay, this is your week to do this. This is your week to do that. This is your week to do this. In biblical times, sometimes the priests only got a chance to sacrifice once a year because all the priests were in line to do their work. The most important thing is that you find out the purpose for you having the gift that you have. There's a diversity of gifts revealed. It is a multifaceted look at the character of God. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. He says, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for a common good. So these wonderful facets that are these attributes that are being displayed is for common good. In other words, he says it's the least that we could do. For the one who is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and another faith by the same Spirit, and another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, and another effective of miracles, and another prophecy, and another distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of the tongues. Each one of these wonderful manifestations are supposed to come together for the common good of the family, the common good of our community. But if you're burying your gift, if you're sitting on your gift, if you're waiting for the right moment, how right does it have to be to love somebody? What right moment? When they got nerves enough to lie, you have nerves enough to tell the truth. Stop waiting for the right moment. You say, no, baby, I love you. But, oh, that's your truth. No, that's in 1 Peter. That's not my truth. You don't really want me to tell you my truth. We won't be friends. So I'm going to tell you how slothful and lazy you are. How nasty you are. No, I got to give you God's truth. If I tell you what's on my heart, you'll say, Pastor? Really? And so, saints, diversity really breaks out the character of God. We have to be careful that we're not boasting, I'm blessed and highly favored, and I'm the best singer here, and I play the guitar better than anyone, and I do the piano, and I this. No, we can't take the credit. The glory goes to God. Amen? If we're serving one another, if we're ministering to one another, he says, as good stewards, God has made us governors. He's made us managers. And as that, we're to look for opportunity to invest. My favorite part of this verse 10 is he says, the manifold blessings, the drivers of various, in the manifold in a car is the part of the car that distributes power. Now understand, you are not the power. You distribute the power. So the manifest is not the gas. The manifest is not the exhaust that goes through it. It is the mechanism that God uses to push the gas through, to push the exhaust through, to move the car. What is this? As talented as it is, as effective as it is, what is it without me? This is what you are. You are an instrument. Pastor Mike, don't bring that to me no more. Praise God. I gotta go. Listen. Verse 11 says, whosoever speaks, whosoever serves. If you speak, you have to speak according to the gospel. I'm about to offend somebody. If you work, you have to work according to God's strength, God's priority. LGBTQ, addiction, homelessness, whatever it is. Okay, you have to make sure that you're communicating through God's word. You have to make sure that you're serving through God's example. All right, you must minister in the power and the energy that God provides. You can't be doing your tricks. You can't have your little strings. All right, you have to stay in the will of God. Why? So that God gets the glory. He is the Savior. I hate to break this to you, but you're going to let folks down. There are going to be times you're not going to be able to meet their expectations. But God will always be able to meet their expectations. So if they come to something based on you, that's going to be fragile. But if they come to it based on the Lord, he always provides. And so we have to understand this. We have to come to this place where we trust in the Lord's ability to empower his people. And that God gets the glory. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, I love this, perfect you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. Amen? God will do it. You don't have to, don't, man, if you're living for man, if you're living for women's, if you're living for people's accolades, 1 minute, you're the top of the world, the next minute, and all you did was human. 1 minute, you're the coach of a great university. The next minute, you scum. And all you did was be human. Amen. Jody told me I'm preaching when y'all are quiet. Praise God. He will perfect you. Verse 12 says, beloved, do not be surprised. Don't be astonished. Don't think it's strangeness. Don't be shocked when the fiery ordeals come upon you. And I looked at this in the Greek, and this was kind of blowing me away. To receive as a guest, to entertain, to lodge. And the Holy Ghost, he had to work it out for me, because I was like, what are you talking about? To receive. Admit this. Don't trouble come in your life. Don't trials come in your life. Don't tribulations come in your life like they're an invited guest. They come down with you and watch your cable, eat your food, hang out with you. They lodge with you. They don't just step in and step out. 44 treatments for cancer. Radiation, 44 in a row. Cancer didn't just come and go. Incarceration, homelessness, depression. What a picket! It lodges with you. It entertains you. Told you about going to church. Told you about going to church. Just entertaining you. No, we can't get bitter and we can't lose hope, because the God that we serve, I'll get there in a minute. Listen, we have to understand that God has a process. He goes on to say that it's for your testing. It's a refining fire. It is the process that God has designed to purify and to strengthen believers. Huh? God made this come upon me? Absolutely not. See, here's the deal. Trials and tribulations come in anyway. It don't matter if you're a Christian or not. Trials and tribulations are coming. If you're on this earth, you're either on your way in, you're in, or you coming out of some type of trial, some type of tribulation. But what God does is he has a process where he takes that trial, he takes that tribulation, he takes that challenge in your life, and he uses it to strengthen you. He uses it to edify you. And then you gain more trust and belief in him. The pain and the painful trials are coming anyway. But God has his process where he takes what Satan meant to destroy you. And all you got to do is look at the wonderful account of Jesus on the cross. How he had been lied on. How he had been spit upon, had been beaten, had been tortured, was hung out. How he had cried out himself, Lord, where are you? What's going on? And I'm telling you, somewhere, Satan was in the corner cutting a jig. Satan was like, oh, we got him now. We got him now. But oh, on the, I feel like a Baptist now. And oh, on the, early on Sunday morning. What am I saying to you, saints? Hold on for your third day. If you're suffering through depression and the adversary is telling you life ain't worth it, hold on for the third day. If right now you don't have a job, right now your wife's tripping out, your husband's tripping out, your kids are lost their mind, hold on for the third day. And while you're holding on, he says, rejoice in him. Rejoice in the fact that God is present with you. What's the big deal about rejoicing in him? He inhabits the praise. When you can give God glory in the midst of your tribulations, God will inhabit that thing. I told a story this morning. I'm trying to stay on time. What am I looking at? Ooh, Jesus. Okay. We won't tell the story today. Watch the early things. He says, but to the degree that we share, degree, the portion, the according to the fellowship that we share, that we partake, that we commune, that we partner, that we join oneself, that we associate with God's suffering. I will tell the story. I just won't have to come back no more. Okay, I got a grant from Forgotten Harvest. Forgotten Harvest gave us $150,000. I spent $100,000 of that grant redoing our kitchen and our fellowship because I wanted to dedicate that space solely to food insecurity. I wanted to dedicate that space solely to food insecurity. And so they're almost done. We're like 97% done. I walk in, it's rained the night before. I walk into the kitchen and the ceiling is leaking. And raindrops is falling on the stainless steel. And for a moment, Satan had me. For a moment, I was like, why? Why me? It's a roof nut. They grow old. And then I started thinking about it. And I said to Satan in that very kitchen, I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know God is going to take care of this. So you can take your little raggedy behind out. Just go. Because that's what he does. He goes to and fro. He ain't got time to stay with you. Your problems stay with you, not Satan. You still fighting Satan, he been left. It's time for you to turn into you and find out how we get through this problem with the Lord. You still trying to fight Satan. It ain't your job to fight Satan. At best, you can wrestle with him and he'll flee. At best. But I want to say this to you. In the month of July, the roof got totally done. 30-year warranty, debt-free. Because of the Lord. Because in that moment that I came to myself, I rejoiced in God. Now, this might seem like a small thing to you, but we're a poor church. And I'm not middle class, I'm meh. I ain't got the class part. Amen? So a roof was a big deal for me. But the Lord provided through the manifold grace of his people. If you need $100, do $100 just poof up? Or does God touch somebody's heart and they come to you and bring you $100? Or does a check come that you weren't expecting? You know, he does go ahead of you. When you're in him, when you are connected to him and you partner with him, he says, I already know your alternator going out. And you done forgot about this money that the state owe you. I'm going to send that check. And you come home and get it. You see, first of all, you see the mail from the state. Oh, Lord. Pop it open and it's a check. As I leave you, I want to invite you to the joy of God. Go to John chapter 16, verse 33, and we'll end here. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Nothing you're going through. If it's over your head, it's up under his feet. And you just learn how to go to him. Verse 14 in chapter 4 says, when you go through this for Christ's sake, when you endure this for Christ's sake, then his spirit rests upon you. He says, take my yoke. It's easy. Rest upon you. It will continually refresh you. It will continually strengthen you in whatever circumstance you're dealing with. Father, I bless and I thank you. I'm so grateful for you and this opportunity again that we had to share into your word. Thank you so much for the Apostle Peter. Thank you for the evangelist who did a great job of penning this for us that thousands of years later, it could be used as encouragement Lord, we're so grateful for everything that you've done. You are a wonderful and magnificent God, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.